All right, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 and 21 this morning. We're continuing looking at the thought of a victorious Christian life. And specifically today, last week we looked at faith. It's faith, not flesh. You're never going to live a victorious Christian life on your own strength. Today we're going to look at the fact that it's Christ in us. Christ in us. Galatians 2, verse 20 and 21 says this, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So let's pray, and we'll look at the message. Father, I ask that you would help me to be able to preach with your power and your Holy Spirit's presence today. Father, we know that you're here. We know that your word is authoritative and that it is laid out clearly for us to be able to read, to understand, and to apply to our lives. I do pray that you would help us to apply it. I pray that we would be people of the book. And Father, that our lives would come in line with your word and that we would strive to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, that we would be able to look at our lives and be able to have a victorious Christian life by trusting you to live through us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, we understand the fact when he says, I am crucified with Christ, he's saying, look, I am not living for me anymore. My sins are dead. And we're going to go into that a little bit more in a later message. But he says, nevertheless, I live. So when a person dies to self, they truly at that point begin to live, but they're living now not for self, they're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. They're living for his power. It says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, we're still here, we're still in the flesh. I live inside of this body. One day, this body will die. Whether that happens while I'm still young in some sort of an accident, or whether that happens when I get old and come to the point where this body is completely worn out and can no longer go, then I will leave this body. I will leave this flesh. But right now, I dwell in this flesh. This flesh is not me. I am in this flesh. And we need to grasp that concept. So he says, I'm not living for me anymore. I'm living for the Lord Jesus Christ. In essence, I am letting Jesus Christ live through me. My goal, my desire is so much to be like Jesus Christ that it would appear that Jesus Christ is living my life. And that ought to be our goal. And he says, I live this life in the flesh, but I live it by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And then he goes on in verse 21 and says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. We are never going to gain righteousness in our power or in our striving to keep the law. Our righteousness comes by letting Christ live through us. So the first thing I want to see today is victory is trusting, not trying. Victory is trusting, not trying. Victory is not a gradual growth, but a gift. 1 Corinthians 15, we're going to look at several verses here. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. So many times we try to have victory and we fail because we're the ones trying instead of letting us trust that it is Jesus Christ that goes and changes me. The choir song talked about a life that is changed by Jesus Christ. Then Jesus came. And when Jesus Christ came, something happened. You know, he did not come in order that we stay the same old corrupt flesh. He came to change us. And here it is in verse 57. But thanks be to God, which, what's the next word? Giveth. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So where does the victory come from? It comes as a gift from God through Jesus Christ. Does it come by our power? Does it come by our strength? Does it come by our strength of character and our will? No. It comes by Christ in us. Turn to Romans 8:37. Romans chapter 8 and verse 37. The Bible says here, nay, in all these things. All what things? Well, let's back up just a little bit and read it. Verse 35 says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And truly, Christians were slaughtered in the early days. Christians are now being slaughtered in other places around the world. And he says, nay, in all these things, what? Persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword, slaughter, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He says, hey, we have the ability in all of these things. It's easy to get discouraged in the flesh, isn't it? It's easy when everything seems to be going wrong, all of a sudden it can become harder to live the Christian life. Why? Because we get in the flesh. But he says, look, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. The key is the next phrase, through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. When Jesus is Lord of our life, we're able to conquer through all these things. Turn to Jude 24. Jude chapter 24. The whole basis of the Christian life is in the first part of the word Christian. What is the first part of the word Christian? Christ, right? So it's Christ. The victory is in him. The Bible says in Jude verse 24 and 25, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now I want you to think about that. Who is able? Jesus is. I'm not able. Can I in any way say, okay, I got saved. And if I had to keep my salvation for a week, I would not be able to do that. I would not be able to present myself faultless before the presence of the glory of God if I had to go for a week. If I had to keep and maintain my salvation for a week, I couldn't do it, and neither could you. So we look at this, unto who that is able, Jesus is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with the exceeding joy. To the only wise God and our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. The glory of God, can you picture it? Picture the throne of God. How can you picture it? How can you comprehend the throne of God? No one's seen it. No one here on this earth has seen it. It is beyond our comprehension. And then on that throne sits God, and at his right hand is Jesus Christ, both in their eternal power and glory. And then you think of one day of your life, and you think, do I deserve to be in the presence of God for one day? Could I one day live in such a way that I would deserve to be in the presence of God? No. But we are able, through Jesus Christ, he is able to present us faultless. We get to stand, if you're saved today, you get to stand in the presence of God Almighty, faultless. But the key is, who is able? Jesus is able to keep you from falling. This life in the flesh, he is able to allow us to live a victorious Christian life while we're here on this earth, just as if we were able to stand before God in heaven, He's able to keep us from falling. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. The book of 1 John, just back a couple pages. Chapter 5, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says this, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." Is there a difference between a saved person and an unsaved person? The Bible says the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, I look back at that time period, and I think they were probably, I don't know. We look at our society today and literally we look at it and say the whole world lieth in wickedness. Just look at the news just a little bit. The whole world lieth in wickedness. There is corruption and scandal from the top all the way down through all of society. The whole world lieth in wickedness. There are sins that I would have never even dreamed possible, and they're going on openly and blatantly right here in Ottumwa, Iowa. The whole world lieth in wickedness, but there's a part of mankind that was born of God, and that part of mankind that was born of God cannot sin. God gave us a new life, an eternal life, and that life is in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our life ought to be a life of victory, but that victory does not come by me gritting my teeth. That victory comes by me trusting that God gives the victory. It's going to come by spiritual warfare and spiritual life, not my flesh in any way, shape, or form. Secondly, so victory is trusting, not trying. It is a gift of God more than a determined growth. Secondly, we are not imitating Christ, but we are letting Christ. We're not imitating Him. We are letting Him do the work in us. Philippians 2:13. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 13. The Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in" who? "In you, both to will and to do His good pleasure." Do you know that the world has no comprehension of why we want to live the way that we do? The world has no comprehension why we would come to church on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night instead of going out to the lake. They would rather be at the lake. They cannot comprehend that. But it is God which worketh in you both to will. You want to. You know, the life that you live, I hope that you live it because you want to. I hope that you live for the Lord Jesus Christ because your wanter has been changed. If it's because you have to, you have a miserable life. But it says, God worked in me. He did a work and He changed my heart and He made it so that I want to live for God. He made it so that I will and that I want to do what God wants me to do. God changed me. It's God that made it so that I don't want to do the things of this world. God made the difference. When a person meets God, there's a difference in their life. I do not understand a person who names the name of Jesus Christ and wants to live back in the old slime pit of the miry clay when God took our feet and set them on the solid rock. Why would you want to go swimming in the filth and the slime again when you've got your feet set on the solid rock? He works in us both to will and to do. And it's not just a heart thing. You've all heard, oh, they've got a good heart, they just don't do it. God says, I work in you to will and to do it. It's not just I want to. God gives us the victory and the power to do what He wants us to do. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 4 and 5. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 4 and 5. The Bible says, when Christ, who is our what? Life. Christ, who is our life. That's Christ in us. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Let me ask, how many of you know beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning that you're saved? Saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know it. All right? That is the vast majority that are here. When Christ, to you that are saved, that have trusted and received Jesus Christ as Savior, and you know that, to you, God says, when Jesus appears, you will appear with him in glory. Now, if you're not saved and he appears, you're not going to appear with him in glory. You have another destination. That destination is hell. Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins so you wouldn't have to go to hell. Jesus died so that you would not have to be condemned. But if you have not trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're condemned already because of the sin nature that's in you and because of the sin that you've done. But when you trust Jesus Christ, you're not condemned anymore. You'll appear with him in glory. And therefore, verse 5 says this, mortify. What does that mean? That means to kill. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. He says, because Jesus Christ changed your life, and Jesus Christ is now, he is your life. You know, for a Christian to say, it's my life, they have a complete misunderstanding of the Word of God. Yet I have heard many a Christian say, it's my life. I heard one Christian say, it's my life and no one's going to tell me what to do on my free time. Can you imagine? Not even God. Not even God. Well, the Bible says if you're saved, then Christ is supposed to be your life. He is who you live for. When you go to work, men, when you go to work every day, you're going to work and letting Christ live through you. You're living. He's your life. Young people, when you go through your day, do you go through your day with Christ being your life? Do you have a walk with him daily? He's your life. When you come home at night, and wife, when you meet your husband, when he comes home at night, are you living for you or are you living for Jesus Christ and letting Jesus Christ come through you? And he says, because Christ is your life, there are certain things that just should not take place in the life of a Christian. And he says, kill those things. What are those things? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, and all of these things. What are those? Those are works of the flesh. They're things that we should not even think about, let alone participate in, because Jesus Christ is our life now. Oh, how we need him. Let me give you an illustration. How many of you think you could play basketball like Michael Jordan? Does most people probably know who Michael Jordan is, right? But how many of you, anybody? Lathan? No? You're pretty good, I've heard, anyway. Your dad, are you better than him? Are you better than Lathan? Oh, Lathan's better than you. Okay, so Lathan. Michael Jordan, could you play as well as Michael Jordan? Absolutely not. Now, what if you walked like Michael Jordan? Could you play like Michael Jordan? No. What if you took your hands and you put them on the basketball the very same way and you imitated exactly the way that he shot the ball? Could you then play as well as him? No. You could not ever imitate him well enough, just follow his actions well enough to be as good as he is. What would it take for Lathan to be as good at basketball as Michael Jordan? Well, he would have to have the height, the strength, the mind. What it would have to be Michael Jordan in him. Right? Michael Jordan giving Lathan all of his own attributes. If Michael Jordan could give Lathan all of his own attributes, could Lathan play like Michael Jordan? He could. He very easily could, because he would be, it would be him in him, working through him to do those things. That is the exact same way it is with Jesus Christ. Can you live like Jesus Christ lived? No. If you imitate him, the Christian life, the victorious Christian life, is not a matter of imitation. It's a matter of letting Jesus Christ be in you and live through you. Let him live through you. Turn to Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. Say, well, how do we get Jesus Christ in us? Well, if you're saved, he's already there. If you're saved, he already lives in you. Luke 24, verse 49 says this, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." So he told these disciples, he says, I want you, when I leave, when I ascend up into heaven, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you be filled with power from on high. What was that power? Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. In verse 17, let's start with verse 16. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him." Do unsaved people have the Spirit of God? Do unsaved people have any comprehension of why Christians live the way that Christians live? They don't get it. Why in the world don't you want to go out and party this weekend? Well, I'd rather be at church. Why in the world? Do you know what? How many of you understand and would rather be in church than out partying? Okay, most everybody, right? So you think about that. Why? Why would you rather do that? Because there's something in you that's different from the world. And that ought to carry through our entire life, from every aspect of our life, this fact that there is someone in me, and this person, it says, the world cannot understand him, the world cannot receive him, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. And then it says this, and shall be in you. Now, who was he talking to? Disciples. What happened? How did he come into them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 13? Acts chapter 1, verse 13. These disciples did exactly as Jesus said. "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes and Judah the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren." They were there, they were praying that God would come into them and give them the power from on high that Jesus Christ said that they could have. It happened in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. The Bible says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." What were they doing? They were obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. They were praying for his help and his power. "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." We know that those other tongues were languages. It gives a list of those languages in verse 8, 9, and 10. And they said, "We hear them in our own language." These people were filled with the Holy Spirit. From that day on, when a person has trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, they receive the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit." And the Holy Spirit is in us. What is that? It's Christ in you. Christ in you. Now think. Should we go around in our life trying to imitate Jesus Christ? Or should we just let him live through us? See, imitation is not going to help him play better basketball. It's letting do the work. Now, basketball, it's a little bit of a different equation because it takes practice and hard work and effort and character to become better at basketball. The Christian life is us dying and Jesus Christ living through us. He lives through you. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. So this Holy Spirit that is in you, do you have the Holy Spirit this morning? Say, you know, I just don't get why anybody would want to live the Christian life. Probably you don't have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you're not saved. The Holy Spirit comes in when a person gets saved. That person's life is changed. All of a sudden they begin to, it's not that their flesh ceases to exist. Oh, the sins of the flesh are still there. But the Holy Spirit, we let Him take control. Those sins of the flesh, they go by the wayside. Now all of a sudden we want to live for God. God worketh in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. The Bible says here in verse 22 of chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So when the Holy Spirit moves in, what moves in? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Do you have it? By the way, it does not say that these are the fruits, plural, of the Spirit. It says this is the fruit of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit takes control, this is a person's life. Do you have peace today? Do you have love? Do you have joy? How about long-suffering? Sometimes that's a little hard to have with people, isn't it? Gentleness, goodness, faith. What are these? Are any of those attributes of the flesh? Absolutely not. None of that comes naturally. See, we need to be changed by the Holy Spirit of God, and then the fruit of the Spirit takes control in our life. We let Him work in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Look at this. The Bible says, "For who hath known the mind of the Lord?" You know what? As you go out and talk to unsaved people, do they comprehend the mind of the Lord? There's no comprehension. You stand there and you talk to people and you try to tell them the Word of God and you try to tell them that Jesus, you need to repent of your sins and you need to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and He'll change your life. And unfortunately, so many people that call themselves Christians, there's been no change in their life. And when there's no change, I have to wonder, is the fruit of the Spirit there? Is the Holy Spirit there? Is Christ even living in them? I don't know, because I can't see inside their soul. I can't see inside their heart. But I have to wonder, when a person does not want to do the things of God, when a person can read the Word of God, when a person can hear the preaching of the Word of God, and they say, "I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to follow what the Bible says." I have to wonder and think, what is wrong? Because the Holy Spirit, when He comes in, there's something about the mind of the Lord. It says, "Who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him?" But we have, look at this, we as Christians, we have the mind of Christ. What is that? It's the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, and it's the Word of God. The Word of God builds the power of the Spirit in our life. Prayer builds the power of the Spirit in our life. Say, "I'm living a Christian life and I'm trying, but I'm struggling. I cannot get victory over this sin or this sin or this sin." The answer is prayer, reading the Bible, and the Holy Spirit. It's Christ in us. That happened when you got saved. Then it's feeding the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit has control of your life, and you are not then looking at it and struggling and trying, and you are letting Jesus Christ live in you. A person was mocking a Christian, and as that Christian was being mocked, the man that was mocking him said this. He says, "Oh, so you have the mastery of the devil, huh?" And the man answered and said, "No, I don't have the mastery of the devil, but I have the master of the devil." Jesus Christ in you. What does the Bible say? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. See, there is no reason that any Christian should be defeated by sin. There is no reason for any Christian to live under the habitual sins of this world. There is no reason for any Christian not to be able to lay aside any sin and it be gone forever and for good. The power is not yours, it's God's. If we will feed the Spirit and allow Him to live through us, we'll live a Christian life of victory. And guess what? At that point, we keep His commandments, and the commandments are not grievous. It's a joy to serve Jesus Christ. We have a great big TBT program going on all week long. And at the end of the week, there's going to be a whole lot of fleshly tired people. And I'm not saying fleshly as in carnal. I'm saying their flesh is going to be tired. Okay? There's going to be a whole lot of tired people. But you know what? It's a joy to serve the Lord. And I don't ever want to look at any part of serving the Lord and look at it and think, "Oh, I have to go do this." You know what? You don't have to. God gave you a free will. I get to let Jesus Christ live through me. I get to serve Him. I get to go out and witness for Him. Sometimes those are pleasant days, sometimes not so much. You'll experience it if you witness. I get to preach the Word of God. Honestly, I can't think of anything I would rather do than preach the Word of God and help people to grow in their Christian life and feed people from the Word of God so that they can grow and let Christ live through them. God ought to be changing our lives in every service. God ought to be speaking to us. The Holy Spirit ought to be alive and well in your heart and convicting you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And how much the Holy Spirit will work in our heart depends upon how much we respond to Him when He does work in our heart. Are you living a Christian life of victory, or are you living a life of defeat? Are you saved today, or are you unsaved? As a saved Christian, you say every day is not a mountaintop. Not necessarily. It's not. But if every day we'll just let Christ live through us, it will change our entire life and the way that we live for the Lord. Because we're not trying anymore. We're trusting. And we're letting Christ work. We're not imitating. We're letting Christ work through us. Let's stand to our feet. In the invitation this morning, I'm going to ask if you're not saved today.